I have a rule. I try to avoid talking about politics in the pulpit, mostly because it's a lose, lose, lose situation. No matter who you're for, a majority in the crowd is against it. But the reason I bring it up today is because it's the very reason Jesus is killed. Jesus' death is motivated by politics. So while I have a rule about it, especially in our current political environment, it deserves talking about because it's the very reason the crowds put Jesus to death. The Reverend Adam Hamilton shares his political concern, the political concerns and tensions during the time of Christ in his book, 24 Hours That Changed the World. Several days after the palm-waving frenzy when Jesus is before Pilate, he, like other messiahs, become a puppet for the Romans to display their power. Reverend Hamilton says this in his book, "During the years between Jesus' birth, 0 AD, and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70, at least 8 people, and perhaps as many as 13, called themselves Messiah or were hailed as Messiah. Every one of these messiahs used the sword in trying to drive out the Romans and establish a new kingdom of Israel. Each understood this to be the task of the Messiah, as did the people, much like King David and the great Maccabees. Every one of these supposed messiahs was sentenced to death. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, many were anticipating a messiah who would lead an armed rebellion against the Romans, and he sorely disappointed them. Jesus was the only messiah who refused to take up the sword." So when Jesus is before Pilate early that morning, as a Passover prop, Pilate gives the crowd gathered a choice: to pass over, to give mercy, to save one from a torturous death. Now, if you remember, Matthew 27:16 says the other messianic figure that day was also named Jesus, Jesus Barabbas. And he led a rebellion against Rome by the sword. Pilate asked the crowds to make this choice: which Jesus do you choose? Hamilton claims it's a choice between two messianic figures. If you picture yourself as part of that crowd, which one do you pick? One is going to lead by force, throw out the Romans, reclaim your tax money, wealth, and prosperity, and restore the strength of the Jewish kingdom. The other's leadership involved loving these same oppressors, serving them as they dwelt among you, doubling the service they demand of you. Whom do you wish to see freed? Whom do you wish to see destroyed? When we see the choice in that way, it's not so difficult to understand the crowd's choice of Barabbas over Jesus of Nazareth. They chose the path of physical strength, military might, and lower taxes over the path of peace through sacrificial love. I don't know about you, but I imagine this crowd is not very different than we are today. And the truth is, we're all looking for someone to fix our broken system. Not just here in Illinois, which it's pretty broken. We're in desperate need of a leader who will fix the ills, not only of our state, but also of our country and of our world. And every 4 to 8 years, we yearn for individuals who promise to fix our economy, to bring jobs to our communities, to promote strong military that will help keep us safe. But somehow it seems like politicians are a lot like broken records. They only tell us what we want to hear, probably because we don't always want to hear the hard truth. Even those who promise change oftentimes get into office and everything seems to halt. In Jesus' time, the crowd that chants "Crucify Jesus of Nazareth" are desperate for a Savior who can help them in such an anxious time as this. It's easy for us to blame the crowd who chooses physical strength over sacrificial love, and while we find ourselves in a different set of circumstance than the crowd, we too are in a very anxious time. Somehow we don't just hear it about it on the news anymore. Anxiety is in our schools, it's at our workplaces, it's in our homes, it's even in our churches. We're living in the midst of high anxiety. I know there are many here struggling. And who can blame you? Even with the recent news of a friend and a family in our town who lost the fight to cancer this week at too young of an age, somehow this Holy Week in particular seems anxious and difficult. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. In fact, I've seen the crowd, I've seen how the world operates, and I'm part of it. And I see us choose the wrong Savior again and again and again, only to get more worked up and anxious. Somehow today the choice seems more clear than it's ever been before, and if you're tired like me, then you can't keep going with what the crowd chants. You can't lean on false promises of strength, which is what the world does. Today we have a choice to choose the Messiah who's different from all the rest. Jesus of Nazareth calls us to go against the crowd, to seek peace through sacrificial love. So that's what we must do. Clinical psychologist Ellen Hendrickson, who works at Boston's University Center for Anxiety and Related Disorders, she's the author of How to Be Yourself, Quiet Your Inner Critic, and Rise Above Social Anxiety. And in her interview, she's asked how to overcome social anxiety. She says, just go out and do it. Stop thinking about it. Somehow we think we have to feel like going to the gym before going to work out. But if we lace up our shoes and go to the gym, often our moods catches up with us and we're glad we went. With confidence, it's the same thing. We have to put action before feeling confidence, because when we see ourselves doing challenging things, we start to believe we can. She offers many more tips, but the one I find compelling the most is, she says this, to be brave for just a minute. The vast majority of social anxiety is anticipatory. Oftentimes, once we take the leap and are in the moment, we do feel anxious at first, but if we can resist the urge to avoid pulling the plug, the anxiety will naturally plateau and start to decline. But by avoiding anxiety, we never get to find that out. So by committing ourselves to being brave for 1 minute and also dropping our safety behaviors, that's where the learning occurs. Similarly, if we choose Jesus of Nazareth as our Messiah, then we choose to just go out and do it. And Christ calls us to face anxiety, to be brave for just a minute. My guess is that's why you're here tonight. And if you're tired like I am of going with the crowd, we're here to follow Jesus to the cross. We're here tonight to breathe in that sacrificial love so that we can share it to a world that shouts, "Crucify him." Now, don't get me wrong, it's not easy to go against the crowd to let this anxiety go, to make that choice of following Jesus of Nazareth, especially in a world that makes us so anxious all the time. Yet all we need to do is go out there and do it. Follow Christ. All we have to do is be brave for just a minute. For if we choose Jesus of Nazareth, then we choose to follow someone who cares about serving others who need love, to follow someone who cares for those who need help, who gives voice to the voiceless, to follow someone who truly loves us and knows our needs. We follow someone willing to go to the cross. That's the Messiah I choose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.